Listen up, team. As your head coach here at Third Coast Training, I want to address a reality that impacts up to 60% of elite endurance athletes and 30% of you non-elites. Overtraining syndrome. This isn't just about feeling drained after a long brick session. It's a severe medical condition that occurs when your training stress consistently outpaces your body's capacity to recover, triggering a systemic breakdown across your neurological, endocrinological, and immunological functions. For Ironman triathletes, stacking multi-sport demands on top of external life stresses creates a high-risk environment. So our core message today is non-negotiable. Smart recognition, systematic monitoring, and prioritized recovery are essential to prevent burnout and secure your long-term performance. Let's break down exactly how this progresses, because understanding the stages is your first line of defense. It begins with functional overreaching. This is a short-term performance decline, lasting up to 2 weeks, that resolves with proper rest and ultimately leads to improved fitness. But if you push through without adjusting, you slide into non-functional overreaching. Here, performance decrements stretch out for weeks to months, accompanied by heavy psychological and physiological symptoms that require substantial rest to resolve. If ignored, it culminates in the final stage, overtraining syndrome. This manifests as a prolonged performance decline, exceeding 2 months with severe symptoms. Recovery from this stage can take several months, and in some cases, may permanently end an athletic career. That's why you must learn to distinguish normal training fatigue, which clears within 24 to 48 hours, from the persistent distress signals of true overtraining. So, what are those distress signals looking like on the ground? Physically, you'll notice chronic muscle soreness, joint pain, unplanned weight loss, and that heavy leg sensation even during easy recovery sessions. Performance markers will shift too. You'll see declining power output, longer recovery times between intervals, and poor race results despite putting in maximum effort. But don't just guess. Your body provides objective data through critical metrics. Watch your resting heart rate. It may spike 5 to 7 beats per minute above your baseline, or up to 10 beats in severe cases. Simultaneously, your heart rate variability will consistently drop over a 3 to 4 week period. Sleep is where the cracks really show. Up to 60% of overtrained athletes experience major disruptions, with sleep efficiency plummeting from a healthy 95% down to 82%. Mentally, you'll feel it too. Increased irritability, depression, anxiety, and a sudden loss of motivation for the training you once loved. On top of that, your immune function weakens, leaving you vulnerable to frequent upper respiratory tract infections. Once overtraining syndrome is diagnosed, there's no shortcut. The only effective treatment is complete rest. Depending on severity, you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks, up to 2 or 3 months of training cessation. Now, complete rest doesn't mean you lock yourself in bed and become completely sedentary. During this recovery window, focus heavily on sleep, stress management, and nutrition. Light activities like walking or gentle yoga are perfectly acceptable to maintain blood flow without adding strain. When you finally do return to training, you start at 50% of your normal load. Increase volume by no more than 10% per week, and begin strictly with low-intensity aerobic exercise kept under 60% of your maximum heart rate. Patience here is performance. But let's talk about keeping you on the right side of the line in the first place. Prevention relies on systematic monitoring and intelligent training design. You need to track 5 key metrics daily: your overall feeling, fatigue levels, muscle soreness, sleep quality, and heart rate variability. To make that data actionable, use a 7-day rolling average for your HRV. This smooths out the daily noise and helps you spot real trends. Pair that with effective periodization. I recommend a strict 3-to-1 training cycle: 3 weeks of building load, followed by 1 recovery week where you deliberately reduce volume by 30%. And when you are building that load, adhere to the 80-20 rule. 80% of your training must be done at low intensity to prevent excessive physiological stress. but here's a critical piece of the puzzle. Inadequate fueling can mimic overtraining symptoms, making your nutrition strategy absolutely vital. Endurance athletes require between 1.2 and 1.7 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight daily. Your carbohydrate needs will range from 5 to 12 grams per kilogram, depending entirely on your training volume. Timing matters just as much as totals. Post-exercise, you should consume 0.8 grams of carbs and 0.2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight within 30 minutes of finishing. Hydration is equally non-negotiable. Calculate your personal sweat rate and replace 150% of your fluid loss within 4 to 6 hours post-training. Finally, remember this physiological reality. Your nervous system cannot distinguish between training stress and life stress. When work demands spike or family obligations mount, that external stress compounds your physiological strain. So you have to be adaptable. When external stress spikes or your sleep suffers, flexibly adjust your training. Swap that planned high-intensity session for low-intensity activity or complete rest. Protect your long-term performance and health by listening to your body, trusting the data, and training smart. Now, let's get to work.